Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline right now. We bring in our friend from NFL.com, and he is also nice enough to join us each and every week. He is Mark Sessler. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Mark.
Doing pretty good. How are you guys?
Good. It's an interesting week for the Browns because if they win, knock on wood, against the Patriots, it is a spirit-changing, mentally-changing psyche for this city if the Browns could pull off a major upset in New England this weekend. Can they?
Yeah, that's the hope. I mean, whenever you face the organization with the best coach, not only of our lifetime but of football history, and the best quarterback. And I honestly think this would very likely go down as Cleveland's last chance to beat Tom Brady. I do think that the tea leaves are starting to formulate where we don't see Tom Brady after this season, especially if they were to win the Super Bowl. And I find it interesting, I was reading through some stuff this morning, that Belichick's first win came in week two, 1991, with the Browns, of course, against the Patriots. And he is up for his 300th win all these years later, not as the Browns coach, as the Patriots coach against Cleveland. And it's the biggest challenge you could formulate for the Browns, because it's not just the players versus the players. It is even Freddie Kitchens, given an extra week, is going to have to go up against someone in Belichick who diagnoses even the smallest weaknesses into a gaping issue for any opponent he faces. And Cleveland's got a lot of overt weaknesses, and they've got to, in turn, go look at a Patriots team that, as undermanned as they may look in terms of lacking star power, turn average Joes into absolute devastators on both sides of the ball. I feel like Dante Scarnecchia, the Browns have all these offensive line issues. The Patriots' offensive line, top to bottom, is a bunch of no-namers. Dante Scarnecchia could turn Miley Cyrus into a functional left tackle, and it's coaching. They have 10 coaches under Belichick on that team. The Browns have 27 assistants, and half the time feel like they can't work in unison. So the Patriots operate completely differently, and it's everyone else's job to catch up. It is an extremely tall order.
You have a story out on NFL.com, came out, what, about an hour ago. NFL trade deadline, one buy-sell proposal for each AFC team, and you have the Browns and Trent Williams still getting after that. You think there's anything to that still going on, Mark? And you said compensation would be a 2020 first rounder.
The way those articles work is if it's not Trent Williams, I've got to come up with someone else, or I've got to give someone for the Browns to trade away. And I think that they are in buy mode, number one. They're not selling players as they would have in the past. The Trent Williams thing, you know, the fingerprints are there in terms of Dorsey's interest. I would put it at a very, very low percent, namely because the Redskins are one of the more confusing, wandering, directionless teams in all of sports right now, and have this fascination with not moving Trent Williams, who has no interest in playing for them. So it's not a lack of Browns' interest, because we know Dorsey is interested in that the offensive line is something that they are, you know, making moves. We've heard Nate Solder come up in whispers as someone they might go after. I don't know what that would fix with today's version of Nate Solder. Trent Williams, I'd be surprised if it happens at this point, because the Redskins seem like non-sellers.
Hey, yesterday, it was yesterday. Joe Thomas and Andrew Hawkins on your podcast Around the NFL. How'd that go? What'd you learn?
They're great. It's a bit startling and concerning as someone in the communication field to look at two ex-players who jump right in and do a better job than we're doing right off the bat. And Joe Thomas, I thought, had an optimistic take, as did Andrew Hawkins, on Cleveland's season going forward, that they really felt that, I trust that they've got some sparrows inside the organization too when they say this kind of thing, that there was optimism that the Browns spent the week self-scouting and may come out with an offense that looks a little bit different. And I hope that would be the case, one that's a little more friendly to Baker Mayfield in terms of finding a way to get the ball out quicker to guys. But, you know, we're halfway through a mystery, and that's the Browns season. It's the results so far are completely beguiling, and it's hard to know where they're going to go at this point. I don't think it's going to get a whole lot better against New England, so we may be talking a week from now on how to salvage the season after a 2-5 start.
Mark, we talked about, and Mark Sessler joining us from NFL.com, we talked earlier in the show, what's the most important thing they needed to fix during the bye week? They needed to straighten out. And I said, get the offense meshed and get that all working so that Baker Mayfield looks like Baker Mayfield. And, you know, there are penalties, there are turnovers, there are all kinds of other things. I think those might be byproducts of what's been going on with the offense.
Well, that's a good note that that might be the byproduct. I mean, they've had 8 giveaways, 4 each against the Niners and Seahawks in the last 2 games. You can't beat these teams doing that. And, you know, some of the turnovers in football are freaky things. Some of them are Baker Mayfield learning on the fly and being aggressive, and I like his aggressive nature in many ways. It's not a panic button scenario in my book, but you've got to reduce the turnovers and the penalties week after week. And against Seattle, you know, some of those were extremely questionable as one could see through the course of an entire NFL season. But Cleveland has hurt themselves with flags from wire to wire. And it's just, you want to go play a Patriots team that has a historical points differential right now. You have to go back to a 1920 team from Buffalo that no longer exists in the first year of NFL existence to find a point differential equal to what the Patriots are doing. They don't make mistakes. So you have to march into this game and be the team that forces them into that, which no team has really done. The Bills are the only defense that really gave the Patriots total fits, I thought. And, you know, you can wish cast a game from the past where you had Colt McCoy and Peyton Hillis running rampant over the Patriots in a total aberration from reality. But this team is more talented, this Browns team, but they fall apart down the stretch when they cannot get out of their own way, and they have to author a perfect game.
Mark, we've heard Freddie Kitchens take the blame for a lot of things. What can Freddie Kitchens do better moving forward to make this team a winner?
Well, I love that every week he takes total accountability. And it's, you know, he's not to me, does not seem like a slippery character that's trying to pass the buck. And so that's something that I would imagine players would be drawn to week after week. And he's learning. It's everyone else looks at New England. They look at Pete Carroll, and they look at some of these coaches that have been around forever and say, why aren't the Browns this way right away? Well, it takes time. And you go back and look at the earliest games of Pete Carroll and even the earliest games of Belichick in Cleveland. There were a lot of stops and starts. You know, I heard you guys before talking about the concept of Kitchens getting a free pass. What I would say that in Cleveland is there's too much of in the past of coach better hit the ground running and succeed in year one, or we'll go find the next guy. And then the next guy's reshuffled right after. I would just hang tight, see what this season brings. And for me, just as someone who's watched the Browns for decades, you know, stops and starts, you want to be consistent. Don't press the panic button. There's a lot for Kitchens to learn, but a lot of it's stuff that he'll never even communicate to us, because the idea of having to go from an assistant to running the show and also calling plays, he put a lot on his plate. And was it too much? I don't know. Some weeks it looks like it is. Some weeks it looks like he's managing it well. I think the second half of the season is absolutely massive in terms of grading Freddie Kitchens.
Hey, Mark, just real quick, are you listening to the station more than we think you are?
I listen to it, you know, in the mornings before I go on my way, because I love to be plugged into the Cleveland scene. Why not?
All right. Nice. We're excited. That's a commercial right there. Thanks, Mark.
There you go.
Mark Sessler joining us from NFL.com. The way that this team has played is, and you look at Baltimore at the top of the division right now, and there is obviously some work to be done there. Are the Ravens as good as people think they are, or are they really guys who have taken advantage of maybe some games that were winnable? That Seattle game makes me think that they're as good as their record is showing right now.
I think they are, because I think they've got a quarterback that is essentially unstoppable from an athletic standpoint, that week after week. And, you know, you go back to the Bengals game where they just detonated Cincinnati, and that seems like not a hard task. But I watched the Bengals defense look like they had never seen read option plays before. And that has a lot to do with the fact that when Lamar Jackson takes off, you know, it's not Mitch Trubisky, who is also mobile. It's Lamar Jackson, who is an absolute headache to deal with. And they are, under Greg Roman, a team that was flexible enough to completely zig when the rest of the league was zagging towards pass-happy landscapes. They are happy to go heavy set, three tight ends on the field, have their passing game run through tight ends. They've got really nothing beyond Marquise Brown at wide receiver. And Lamar Jackson is, you know, in many ways an MVP-type candidate because you put Joe Flacco into that offense and they are dead weight. And so he's made all the difference, and they've been flexible enough under Harbaugh to completely change the offense around their quarterback. And that's what you want to see in Cleveland. That's what you want to see with all these teams that have talent that are not meshed on offenses. Open self-scouting and flexibility heading into each week.
Mark, you know we love reading you, NFL.com, and we always appreciate your time. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mark.
We'll talk to you soon, Mark Sessler. Nice enough to join us here on Baskin and Phelps. And, of course, he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.